section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Another wrestler quits the WWE, a TNA match is in jeopardy, and we talk about upcoming pay-per-views. All this and much, much more in this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So we got an Evan Bourne update. So what's going on with this, Aaron?
So Evan Bourne is actually celebrating his sixth year in the WWE. Now, what do you think?
Now, this is interesting because, yeah, it's been 6 years. It doesn't seem like it, but yeah, he must have started in 2008. And some people were speculating that the reason why he did this is because he's got terminated or his contract's not getting renewed. But it turns out that that's not the case. They just don't have anything for him. So what do you do with a guy like Evan Bourne? Because you have other wrestlers that are just sitting, getting paid and not doing anything for the company. Not appearances, not, you know, charity work. They're just sitting at home and they just get their downside guarantee and nothing else. Is this a bad move by the WWE, or is it just they're at that point where what do we do with certain wrestlers?
Yeah, you know, I think that there's a lot they could do with him, and we'll talk about it actually for our weekly topic, one of the things that I think would be interesting. But in particular, you could have him on NXT. You know, you had Tyson Kidd on there recently. Why not have Evan Bourne? You know, he actually is pretty talented and he could probably hang with a lot of those guys because a lot of those guys are a little bit smaller. So I think that it's actually a really bad move on the WWE's part. And I think financially speaking, it is stupid. Why on earth would you have somebody who you are paying to sit at home and do nothing? I don't understand it. It's funny. One of the stats here is that he actually has not been on TV since January 2012 because that's when he got busted for, you know, substance abuse or whatever they call it. And then after that, he got hurt. So he hasn't been on since January 2012 except for a single appearance on NXT back in March of 2013. So they had him basically – he's been off TV for two full years, albeit one appearance.
Yeah, I think this is something that they need to – How should I put it nicely? Well, they just need to do something with them or just let them go because they're just throwing money down the drain. And of course, you know, their stock has tumbled. Lots of negative things recently with the company. You know, where do you go from here? So I believe that they need to do something. Here's something that's really interesting. And this is why you do not tape, what, seven weekly shows in a row right before your pay-per-view. MVP was overseas, and he did because TNA wrestlers, to make ends meet, have to wrestle indies. Well, they don't have to, but a majority of them need to. He wrestled, and people are now speculating that he blew out his knee. So the following night, he was on crutches at a place, and he said that the MRI is
inconclusive.
Inconclusive.
Yeah.
So is this something that TNA is going to have to stop then?
No, I actually and I disagree with you because this could happen anytime. You know, it's happened in WWE before where, you know, they tape a Monday and they tape on Tuesday and then they have a house show that somebody gets injured at. And so then guess what? It puts the pay-per-view match in jeopardy. That type of stuff always happens. However, though, I do think that when you are put in this type of a spot, especially when you are getting closer, I think that you need to protect some of your bigger stars. And in particular, MVP, who, you know what, if he's somebody who you're expecting to take the title, you're probably going to want to protect him. You're probably not going to want him to start wrestling and really do crazy things, you know, 2 weeks before the pay-per-view, because guess what's going to happen? You're going to get injured. And I actually think that this is really, really bad for TNA because Eric Young, I don't know who else he's going to face. I mean, they're going to have him face Lashley, maybe. I mean, I could see that potentially, but I don't want to see Lashley as a champion. So what, you're going to have EY overcome the odds until MVP gets better?
That's a good point, actually. He would have to face Bobby Lashley, and then he can't beat Bobby Lashley. That's the other thing. I think that they would screw up that entire storyline. because there's something else that they're trying, some bigger picture they're trying to go with. But I don't know. I guess the whole thing, I almost wish that they would stop doing these, stop taping so far in advance, because the ratings have been hurting. And the other thing also that's come out is, did NXT TakeOver actually hurt TNA's ratings? Well, according to Twitter, people were watching TakeOver opposed to Impact, which I thought was really interesting. So maybe the WWE Network actually is taking away from TNA viewership, but I guess that's something we're going to have to wait and see on that. So,
yeah. So anyway, Andy, WWE programming this week, we had a pay-per-view, and then we had, of course, a good Raw and a good SmackDown. Let's talk a little bit about the pay-per-view, kind of the biggest thing, which is that Daniel Bryan refused to hand over the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. What did you think of the segment that happened on the pay-per-view, which kind of felt almost like a normal, like a Raw?
This felt like a Raw, and I believe that a lot of these pay-per-views or special events, whatever they're going to call them now, I believe that this is going to be the feel, except for the three big ones, you know, SummerSlam, Royal Rumble, and WrestleMania. Other than that, I believe that these will just be a glorified Raw, as in they just won't run advertisements, but or unless you drink Diet Mountain Dew. But they won't run the advertisements, but they're just going to do basically a 3-hour show. Now, the pay-per-view itself, besides this, actually, to me, felt like it felt like a pay-per-view when you cut this out. The fact that Stephanie tries to fire Brie and then Brie quits, first slaps Stephanie, then quits, I was surprised. And then there was speculation. We always thought, oh, maybe she was pregnant. And then it turns out that she has wrestled. So what does this mean? Is she, maybe she's going to call it and Nikki's going to stay?
I don't know. It's obviously for the storyline, so we'll see what happens there. They did make an announcement on Raw that Bryan will have to defend the title at Money in the Bank. If he can't, then that's actually the Money in the Bank match will be for the title, which is actually kind of big news. And that was an announcement that Stephanie makes. So obviously, it's the friction right now is Bryan versus Stephanie. I did want to ask you what you thought, and we're talking about it. I said we're not going to talk about it anymore. We're going to keep talking about it. The Chicago crowd was chanting CM Punk, and Stephanie says, "See, they want you to quit just like CM Punk," and that shut the crowd up.
But the thing is, she's not lying. That's what happened. And for anyone who thought CM Punk would appear, let's put it this way. I'm a big Chicago Blackhawks fan, and on Game 7 at the United Center, he was sitting front row with his fiancée, AJ Lee. There's no way he could make it to the Allstate Arena. In fact, I was timing it, saying, could it happen? Could it happen? Of course it didn't.
And it went into overtime, too. But yeah, what did you think? So WWE has not mentioned CM Punk except for when they were in Chicago the very first time, which was a few weeks after Punk quit. And then, of course, Punk's music hits. Paul Heyman comes out and silences them, basically. That was the first time they mentioned him. And then this is the second time that they've mentioned CM Punk. What do you think? I mean, are they trying to build bridge? Are they trying to burn it? What are they trying to do?
I think they're trying to turn the fans away from CM Punk. And I believe that there's a way to do it. I think you just have to do what they've been doing about people quitting, is just do a couple storylines, like one we'll talk about later. You just have to do that and make those people look like crap because they quit. And eventually, I think the crowd has gotten smarter in certain areas. And I think eventually people in Chicago will just be like, he quit. You know, we're done with him. He quit. So we'll just chant his name as a joke. But, like when a crappy match is going on. But that's pretty much, I believe that eventually people will not forget about him, but he'll just be there, like at one point. Whether or not he had a Hall of Fame worthy career in the WWE can be an argument. because he did, but I think the way you leave is also can also foreshadow some people are gonna treat you. I mean, Ultimate Warrior, I mean, that's a good example. I mean, him and WWE, there's so many bad things that happened with that. And he still came back and got inducted in the Hall of Fame. Is that something?
Yeah, but Warrior was very important, though, for the 80s and everything they did. And I think that Punk was very important for, you know, what he had done during his time. But I don't want to spend too much time on him, though. I do want to ask about the Shield and Evolution. So pay-per-view time, the Shield destroys Evolution. They clean sweep them. You know, it was an elimination match. Shield pins all three members. And then kind of a side note that we have to talk about. When Batista came out and you saw his ring gear, what was your first thought?
Blue.
Well, what was your first thought? I mean, when you saw him, were you like that? What?
I've never seen him. I don't remember him seeing the long gloves, if you want to call it that, like the stuff for your arms.
The armbands. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember him ever wearing that, and he decides to wear it. And I think when you wear something like that, I believe that your trunks have to be a certain length and not be basically wearing underwear out there. And I know that's a style thing or whatever, but usually guys are like in trunks at that time or wearing long pants. I want to say Evan Bourne for a while did the same thing, but he also had the long trunks. Zack Ryder, would he? Yeah. I mean, look, anyways, I just thought that it was weird that he did that, because he's never done that. And all of a sudden he's like, hey, I'm going to do this.
Well, it was funny. My buddy of mine and I were watching, and I go, did he just raid Sin Cara's locker? You know, did he go in there and steal his armbands? And he's like, oh, I got to find some blue thing. The whole reason I'm even bringing this up.
Did he Ultimo Dragon? No, it's not Ultimo Dragon. Who was it that stole Glacier stuff or bought it?
It was like Kaz Harai or something like that. WCW. No, so the reason I even bring this up is because on Twitter, Blue Tista, blue, the color of his trunks, Tista, was trending on Twitter. And WWE even brought that up. Are they kind of basically almost making a joke out of Batista? Are they kind of having fun with him almost? Are they kind of going with the crowd on this?
I'm wondering if Batista thought this out.
Like, he thought it was for a marketing gimmick.
I'm wondering if he did. Because I thought that was interesting, because he can come back and say Blue Tista as a t-shirt and people will buy it because they'll find it as a joke. But then he'll be happy because people are buying it and he's getting a percentage of the merchandise.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm wondering if he decided to do it, because he's done some things and you're like, what the? And then it's almost like either it was just dumb luck or he planned it out. I believe he planned this out.
I don't know if he's that smart, to be honest. I really
never
don't
know. Maybe people around him could be smart, though.
That's true.
But now, the interesting thing that happened, too, is that because Evolution lost, which, by the way, that was an awesome match. And it went that match curtain to curtain. It was, I think, 35 minutes. And that was surprising for a pay-per-view, because usually pay-per-view, once it hits 10:45 Eastern Standard Time, that's when the show is done. And it kept going. And going, and if I'm correct, I think the pay-per-view itself was 2 hours and 52 minutes, I think. So, you know, it's pretty long.
And to piggyback off that real quick, I was thinking about it too. I'm like, oh my God, we're almost to 3 hours. What's going on? They got to end this soon. We have to have an elimination. And then I realized something. We're on the network. You know, the pay-per-view standards, the reason why 3 hours is because a lot of times, and this happened for WCW once for the Goldberg DDP match, where they they overran. They went to 3 hours, and a lot of the pay-per-view networks, like the Comcast and those types of places, they give you the 3 hours and they cut it. And so the Goldberg DDP match, a lot of people never saw. So they had to show it the next night on Nitro, which was really weird. And I was thinking, oh, man, you know, like, you're going to have to end this soon. Then I realized we're on the network. We don't have to worry about those time constraints. In fact, if anything else, I almost wonder if these special events should be even longer, if they should be 3.5 hours long, you know, or, you know, 3 hours and a little bit of change, because we have that opportunity now to do it. So,
yeah. And by the way, getting to that WCW pay-per-view, I think you might have been at my place watching it, because we saw it and I think we were like, wow, it's like, you know, it's like 10:15 Central Standard Time. We're like, the pay-per-view should have been over with like 30 minutes ago. And then we found out the following day, all these people were complaining how they missed that match, which I think to this moment still is the highest rated wrestling segment of all time, because it did something ridiculous. It was, I want to say, it was in the 9s for a rating, which is unheard of even back then. So, yeah. Which, and it was a good match too. Hands down, it was an awesome match.
So it, back anyways, to Batista, Annie.
Yeah, so Batista.
He quits. I got to ask you, was this something you saw coming?
Yeah, because he had to. He's gonna be doing stuff, promotional stuff for, I think he's Drax?
Drax.
The Destroyer. Right. So he's gone. We already knew he was going to go, and, you know, he quit. That's fine. I believe that the way this is set up for Batista, whatever they had in store for him, this has made his character better. So when he does come back, I think that he'll come over as a face right off the bat. But if you really want to get him over, you have him come back as a face. And then whatever he's doing the face on, he turns on that person and said, I'm a evolution man for life.
Well, I don't know if I would do that necessarily.
Oh, he would because
he quit Evolution. So it's kind of like, well, why would you do that? Doesn't make any sense. But then again, it's WWE, and they do things that don't make sense.
Here's what I don't get. On Sunday afternoon, they decide to do something that, okay, it made me say, wow. But Seth Rollins turns on the Shield, and they just decide this the day before. Like, hey, by the way, Seth, this is going to be your last match with the Shield, and then you're going to turn on him. Okay, it surprised me, but that's all it did to me. It just surprised me. I was like, okay, what are they going to do with him? That's mm-hmm. how I took it, at least. I think it'll help him out. Realistically, in that group, I don't think Roman Reigns is the greatest. Dean Ambrose can wrestle. But Seth Rollins, I mean, he was Tyler Black in Ring of Honor and TNA. He doesn't really need a group, but I'm almost wondering if they're like, he needs a group because otherwise he's not very good. I mean, what are your thoughts?
No, I don't think that. I think that everybody was expecting Dean Ambrose and they wanted to go a different route. You know, it's going to be, I wonder what they're going to do to flesh out his story a little bit more, because they had been working together. And I had said last week that I don't think it would be smart for them to break up the Shield now. And I still think that it's not a good idea to break them up now, mainly because by breaking them up, you're saying that Seth Rollins, who just got the crap kicked out of him the night before, is like, you know what? Actually, Triple H, I think I will go with you. And, you know, he's going to come out on Monday and be like, oh, well, he offered me power. It's like, yeah. And you know what happens to people who he offers power to? Like, anybody who knows anything knows that he turned on Randy Orton and he turned on Batista. So, you know, think about that for a second. So you have that. And then it's like, why not wait a little bit longer where, like, you let some time go by and then it's like, you know what? Actually, now I am turning on the Shield because Triple H actually has done some things for me and he's promised me these things, you know? Why do it the day after? That, to me, it just doesn't feel right. It feels like way too rushed, and it feels like they almost did it because they didn't know what else to do.
You know, I was just thinking about this. We brought up Evan Bourne earlier. Why not have Evan Bourne join the Shield?
No.
You think it's a bad idea?
Very bad idea, actually.
Oh, I was just saying, I mean, because they're going to need a third member.
I don't think that we're going to have the Shield anymore.
Unless you have Dean Ambrose next week turn on Roman Reigns and then have him join Evolution.
Oh, come on. That would be. And you know what? I mean, you said it.
So it's going to happen. Great.
I don't think it's a good idea. I really don't.
Well, I don't think it is, but. I wouldn't, but they did this thing with Seth Rollins. What next? I mean, and also here's the thing. You could have had Shield versus the Wyatts. Mm-hmm. And then they could have gone away from Evolution. Again, it puts Triple H back in the spotlight. And I guess this is, I'm going off on a tangent right here, but this is why I believe that Stephanie and Trips should be behind the scenes and more concerned about business opposed to doing business and their character. There's a point where you can't do both, and I believe that's one of the main reasons the WWE is lacking right now. We've seen Evolution. Yeah. I'm kind of over with it. So,
anyway.
Anyway, by the way, have you watched Legend House at all?
No, I have not watched that. I watched part of that stupid show, and I said, yeah, I can't do this anymore.
What about Total Divas?
I literally can.
What about Total Divas?
Yeah, I do.
And why is that?
Because the wife likes it.
Okay, and I want to point out one thing why I don't like, why I watch it. I just watch it because we do the show. But I've got to the point where when the suit makes fun of it, at some point you're just like, why am I watching this? So, yeah. But anyways, and by the way, that show is 99.9999% scripted. So something that's not scripted is our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster? Or you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs, and a free site builder, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use the special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what are you going to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite of your web hosting costs. Make sure you check out Section 86's Off The Mark page and click on the banner at the top to save big on items at WWEshop.com. Let's talk some Impact Wrestling now. MVP orders Eddie Edwards to take on Davey Richards. But what happens?
So they don't want to wrestle each other, obviously. And then Kenny King comes out and says, if you don't, we're going to strip you of the tag titles. And they actually, they wrestle a little bit more and then they slow down. And then Kenny King's like, nope, I'm going to do it. And so they beat the crap out of him, which was actually kind of entertaining. I got to ask you, these two, they know each other pretty well. So it was actually an okay, half of a match. Kenny King looks like he probably belongs in the ring with those two. I don't think you can really pair Bobby Lashley up with them. I wouldn't do MVP. Do you bring in a fourth person to their group and pair them up with Kenny King, do you think, to take on the Wolves?
Well, I would say let's bring Robbie E into the picture, but him and Brooke Tessmacher are gone doing the Amazing Race, so he's out of the question. Zema Ayat, well, who's a good heel X Division wrestler? Daniels? Kaz? Yeah, right. Oh, wait, no.
Actually, you said it. Zema Ayat is probably one of the best that you probably could do.
The problem is that with Robbie gone, that's the problem. You got to have the bromance. You got to have someone wrestle. And since he's going to be gone for, I think, 3 weeks, I think is what the Amazing Race is. So
they already taped those 3 weeks, so who cares?
No. True. Yeah, he'll probably be back for the pay-per-view because that's when the Amazing Race will be over with. So you got to bring someone in. I'm trying to think of someone who might be available. Can't think of anyone. That's the problem. You need someone who can wrestle with Kenny King or can basically be on par with those other two guys.
I agree. The other thing, so this week in particular, they basically had MVP going on a power trip, so to speak, because you had MVP. He orders that match, and then he orders Austin Aries to take on Samoa Joe, and he said that the loser is going to get fired from TNA. That match lasted about a good 5 minutes or so before the match basically got nixed, and they decided, you know what? Instead, what we're going to do is later tonight, we're going to do an Austin Aries, Samoa Joe, Bully Ray to take on the rest of the group. So. They obviously went a slightly different route with this. What do you think of MVP going on his power trip? I mean, is this make you hate him more? Does this make you go, oh man, now I can't wait to see him get beat? Like what does that do for you?
I think they're trying to make him like a Vince McMahon, Triple H style character. I don't think it'll work in TNA though, because if you've seen that already in the WWE, especially if it's something that similar. I mean, most wrestling storylines have been done before, except they'll change a couple of things. But when you have a current storyline going on like this already, I just don't care. I believe that they missed the boat on this. I mean, they missed the boat on the fact that Kenny King didn't bring up anything about him being on Legends House. And they could have said something. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but you could have said something. It's like them missing the boat, not keeping World Goes Wild for Adam Rose. I mean, come on. I can keep going. I think they missed the boat on this.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what else they would have done, though. I believe
that this was booked on the fly, by the way. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I believe that this is actually booked on the fly. They're like, let's, because they announced this last week, right? If I'm correct, that loser leaves. They're probably when they taped all these shows, they're like the day before, like, let's have this. And then the following day, like, so what do we do with this match now? Who's going to leave? Yeah. And then they're like, oh, wait, both guys are under contract. Well, let's change the match.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you, have you, you know, you obviously been watching Impact. What have you been thinking about Anderson and Storm's little feud they have going on?
Probably the only entertaining thing that they're doing right now.
The only entertaining thing.
I like this. I think, see, I believe that Ken Anderson is an all-around wrestler. I believe he's comedic. I believe he can be serious for a moment. And I believe he can wrestle. He has everything. He is the full package. If I had to change TNA right now, I would build it around him. I know you could say I would do it around Samoa Joe. You could do this. That's fine. You could. But I believe that he's the total package. The James Storm thing. James Storm, I think, was becoming dull, and that's why they turned him heel. The thing with Ken Anderson, it's made him interesting again. And I believe that I said the same thing. I didn't like who did he face before? I can't the psycho.
Sam Shaw.
Sam Shaw. He faced Sam Shaw, right? Sam Shaw was not interesting to me, and then all of a sudden he became more interesting when he started wrestling Ken Anderson. So I believe a lot of that stuff is Ken Anderson.
I think I agree that Ken Anderson is definitely one of the better points of Impact Wrestling. I also think that James Storm is, though, too. You know, when Storm won the belt, which I thought was just such a weird match with him and Angle, I was just like, I don't think that he's a championship material, really. And now I do. I actually think that he's a lot better, and I think that he's a main event player. So having those two go against each other, I think, is fantastic. And I think that those two, they have really great chemistry. They already had a match, though. I think this is the problem. And I mentioned this like 3 weeks ago. These two already faced each other on Impact. I'm actually excited for their match at the pay-per-view. Don't get me wrong. But why even bother having a match? Why in God's name do you have a match 3 weeks ago? And then you're like, oh, yeah, by the way, we're going to do this really nice build-up for the pay-per-view. It doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't. So I'm a little disappointed in TNA's booking for this matter. They're like, oh, well, we're going to book this, but we're going to, you know, have the same match again, you know, and we want you to pay $40 for it. It doesn't make any
exactly.
sense.
And the thing is, and this is where I think it's going to hurt TNA the most in their pockets, is that we've become spoiled getting what now? Let's see, WrestleMania. Yeah. Three pay-per-views now that you didn't have to shell out any money. Besides the $10 you're already paying for the WWE Network. Mm-hmm. I believe that this is going to hurt TNA. Oh, by the way, Ring of Honor is having their pay-per-view here shortly, too. Mm-hmm. Is it? It's not this Sunday. It's right after Sacrifice, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah,
Best
I think
in the World.
Yeah, I think it's Sacrifice, Best in the World, and then Money in the Bank. So if I had to buy a pay-per-view and I had either TNA or Ring of Honor to choose from, I'm actually going to get Ring of Honor's pay-per-view because it's the first one that they've done in forever. And I believe that they're going to pull everything out. And I believe that you're going to see some great matches. I think AJ Styles is going to be there. Chris Hero. You're going to have some awesome things. And plus, it's Ring of Honor. It's something different. And I believe that's actually what actually is going to help them in this case. TNA is not being different. They're pretty much doing the same thing. Anderson versus Storm, you already saw that match. Let's do something different at the pay-per-view. Why not have like a good old, I'm trying to think what it's called when they're tied together. Gosh, what's that match called?
Strap match?
Yeah, you could have like a strap match, you know, something like that. You have to have some type of gimmick match for this. Then I think that match, I wouldn't care if it was on free TV. Because it would be something gimmicky, it would be something different. And I believe that's also, you know, going on a tangent, that's why ECW was so good. It's because it gave you something different. But TNA is giving us pretty much recycled WWE storylines.
Well, yeah, I mean, I just don't like the route that they're going down. But yeah, Andy, you are correct. We are going to see Slammiversary, Best in the World, and then Money in the Bank. So three straight weeks, three pay-per-views. It's actually going to be kind of nice. You know, you figure like Sunday nights, you're going to be like, oh, hey, what am I going to do? Oh, I'm going to watch pay-per-view. You know,
I'm gonna go outside and play with my kid. Oh,
no, not in the summer. Pay-per-views.
Yeah, we'll wrestling. Kick the central air on and relax. Or in your case, you open a window. But yeah, I kept calling it Sacrifice. It's Slammiversary. My bad. By the way, they haven't talked to, I'm surprised they haven't started talking about the points for Bound for Glory. You think?
Well, I think they typically do that after Slammiversary. That's right. When they start talking about Bound for Glory a little bit more.
Okay. So yeah. So anyway, so that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.